Yo Pods, check out Meet Mitch and Leewood for award-winning barbecue, outstanding atmosphere, and your destination to watch all your favorite March Madness action. Tailgating for opening day? Place your order online and pick up on way to the game. Meet Mitch Barbecue, East 95th and Mission in Ranch Martin or Shopping Center.
Welcome back to the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Today you double your pleasure. It's a doubleheader. Two baseball games for the price, well, probably for the price of two. They split it up, but whatever. Yeah, they gouge for money. It's MLB. And they won't even let you watch the product on the TV half the time, right? Anyway, the point is, it's two. Let's play two. Or not, since it's against the White Sox, and the Royals are 2-13 against that team the last couple of years, and they've lost 11 in a row right now. Doesn't feel great. But Mike McFarland will cheer us up. What's up, Mac? How are you?
Yeah, the White Sox are pretty hot right now, and we're kind of heading into the opposite direction. I thought the cure was going to be the Detroit Tigers, and you know, right, yeah, there you go. Right now, it's just, there's some ugly at bats going on. Look, hitters have a certain sense of pride that going up to bat, telling themselves, I'm going to be the one that's going to bust us out of this crap that we're in right now. And that's why you're seeing the overswinging, the lack of approach, you know, the looseness in their at-bats. And when you start seeing Whit Merrifield take himself out of his approach to hitting, then you know things. It's kind of a disease going on in that clubhouse right now that, you know, quite honestly, it's very hard to come out of.
So Jake Junis goes back in the rotation, at least for tonight. He's pitching the second game of the doubleheader. And we all wondered why, or just wondered if that was the right move to take Jake Junis out of the rotation. Because going back to it, I mean Daniel Lynch, the minor league season really hadn't started, and I don't know. I mean, it's not like he was blowing hitters away. Oh, we got to call this guy up. He's earned it. It was kind of odd when it happened, although I was happy to see him because he's one of the top prospects. We want to take a look at him. But removing Junis, Daniel Lynch hasn't performed well in the rotation. Jake Junis hasn't performed well in the bullpen, and the team hasn't performed well overall. If Junis pitches well tonight and ends the streak and beats the White Sox, should they reconsider that move?
Yeah, I mean, look, Lynch is young, and right now he's a thrower. He's not pitching well, he's up in the zone with everything, and I don't care how hard you throw. I said it before, his stuff looks good, but when you're up in the zone with your change, your curve, and especially a straight 94-mile-an-hour fastball, I don't care who you're playing against, the ball's going to get peppered. And you keep seeing Salvi put his glove on the ground, miss down here, and just the youthfulness of him, he's not making the adjustment and getting over the top and getting swings at those pitches down. And then invariably, when, especially with two strike counts, you know, you cannot miss up unless you're pitching up for effect, just to change their eye levels. But when their eye level is up on every pitch, you know, they're just salivating at the plate, waiting for something to get elevated, and they're not missing it. So bringing Jake in tonight, I think if he has a good game, it's certainly a question that the Royals have to ask themselves. You know, okay, yeah, we brought him up. What are we going to do with him? I think you bring him up. What do you do to his psyche if you send him back down? Well, show him that it's a business and performance matters, and learn to get the ball down in the strike zone, because, you know, a lot of those pitches will get chased in AAA. You know, but you can't get away with them at the major league level. But I hope Jake throws a good game tonight, you know, especially against a hot-hitting team like the White Sox, and, you know, maybe move him back in. But by no means do I think that they're going to think long and hard about it, just based on the fact that Lynch is one of their top prospects, and, you know, give him one more shot to see if he can make those adjustments to get down in the strike zone.
And I'm not even talking about Lynch. When does Mike Minor get to earn a spot in this rotation? Because he hasn't yet. I mean, he's got a 5.75 ERA. He never pitches six innings, and he's shown he could be a good reliever. He was a good reliever the last time he pitched for the Royals. I mean, if you don't want to jack with Lynch, I mean, what's if Junis pitches well and he's shown that he's he can pitch better and more effectively in the rotation? I mean, why not Mike Minor? What if Keller blows up again? I mean, there have been other options. That's why it was curious when the decision was to pull Junis, because it seems like they had found something with Junis pitching well in the rotation, and he hasn't pitched well in the bullpen, and these guys and Mike Minor still. I mean, every game it's like, you know, 4 innings, 4 runs, 5 innings, 3 runs, 5 innings, 5 runs. That's why he's got a 5.75 ERA.
I agree. You don't want to panic, and I think they're trying to do their best not to panic by, you know, switching the lineup around every single day, trying to throw an arm in there to see who can get the job done. But, you know, in the grand scheme of things, you're still only 4 games under 500. You've shown that you can get on a good couple of week stretch playing good baseball. But right now, just everything, defense, obviously the hitting and starting pitching, not getting deep into the game. There's, you know, I think things will change around when Mondesi gets back here. As much as everyone wants to discount what that kid can do, you know, he can also come in and go 4-for-6 in a couple of games and bring the offense back to life, and, you know, get Zimmer and Hahn back and into the bullpen to help solidify that area. Every team has injuries, but when you're a, you know, small market club, you need to maximize those opportunities when you get the chance and get the horses that you have and keep them healthy as long as possible. Otherwise, you're going to find yourself in this rut.
So, Mac, I want to go back to Daniel Lynch for a moment. Some of the things you talked about with him being a thrower right now, and what I think the Royals are. This goes back to the weird conundrum that 2020 put organizations like the Royals in with some of their top prospects. Daniel Lynch has never pitched above A ball before this year. And then he spent all of last year in that weird limbo of being at the alternate site, where I know the organization said they really got after it, they competed hard, but they were playing against the same group of guys every single day, and they weren't playing real games. So he missed out on a year of play. He could have maybe pitched at AA last year, or maybe even half the year at AA and half the year at AAA. And I listened to his Zoom after the game yesterday, and he said, well, I got ahead of guys a lot of times, and I felt like I made some really good pitches. They just did something with them. But then I listened to a guy with a lot of big league experience as a catcher, you, saying, well, maybe he didn't hit the spots he was supposed to when Salvi was trying to get him to. And maybe those were great pitches at high A ball. But they're not you know?
Yeah, exactly. There's a big, big difference between, you know, AAA hitters and major league hitters. You know, and when I say he's a thrower, he's relying more on velocity than accuracy. You know, and it takes a while to trust your stuff to get it back down in the zone and trust the pitch down in the zone with the movement, other than overthrowing, you know, whether it's the hard breaking ball or his fastball or his changeup, overthrowing it a little bit, which keeps it on the same plane with no movement. And, hell, like I said, major league hitters can spin on a bullet. And right now they're just up there and getting a fastball up out over the plate and taking it to right field or with two strikes or plugging a gap when they're in a cripple count. So those are the different things. But, you know, he did face good hitters. I mean, you had your top guys in those leagues last year that they were playing in and going up against some decent hitters, but still, you're not facing guys that have 8 years in the major leagues on a consistent basis that are experienced and know exactly what to do when they get a pitch to hit.
Mondesi's on his rehab assignment, Mac. How about that?
Look, that must have been a hell of an oblique pull, because I thought he'd be back by now. Either they're being overly cautious or it was a lot worse than what they let on at the start. But, look, I think if he gets 3-4 games, get his butt back up here ASAP.
And, look, you put Mondesi back at short, put Nicky at second. And, look, Jorge Soler is a fine hitter. He's got lots of power. Can hit him far, can he? But boy, I don't need to see him in the outfield anymore.
No. You're right. It's you know, he's an offensive weapon, and you know, we got to get him going. But more importantly, we got to get Hunter Dozier going. Whether he's out there putting more pressure on himself, trying to justify the contract. Yes, he's hit some balls hard, but again, another kid that's up there with no approach right now. He's late on the fastball. It looks like his hands aren't ready to attack because you couldn't throw it hard enough for Hunter Dozier last year. It didn't matter. He was on time with his hands to get into position to attack. And, you know, right now he's up there looking a little bit tentative and defensive. He's not getting ready and attacking. And, you know, that's pressure. And I get back to the first point that I made that, you know, everyone hitter wants to be that guy that gets the big hit to get us over this, to get us out of this and get us on a roll. And, you know, when they came back from that 7-run deficit, I thought that was going to be the game. But, you know, it's just one of those things that you got to be kidding me. You get deflated going back into the locker room after tying that thing up and losing that game against the Tigers. So I was hoping it would carry over, but obviously it didn't. But you come out of Chicago with a couple wins, you're going to feel a hell of a lot better with yourself beating one of the best teams in the American League right now.
By the way, Mac, down at Double A, Northwest Arkansas, the 2-3-4 hitters last night were Mondesi, Witt Jr., and Nick Prado. Mondesi went 0-for-3 with a walk, and then was removed. Fingers crossed there. Bobby Witt Jr. went 1-for-5 with two ribbies, and then Nick Prado went 1-for-4. So just an update on the 2-3-4 hitters for Northwest Arkansas last night. Nate Bucchetti.
Well, to go back to, you were talking about Hunter Dozier and what a struggle he's been in.
What's that, 0 for what now?
I think I heard on the radio call last night, yesterday afternoon, he was 0 for his last 30.
I know it's at 30. Did he get another at bat?
I thought that was his ninth inning at bat.
There it is.
Inning at bat.
What's the longest 0 for you went for, Mac?
You tend to try and forget those, Steven.
Well, I just wanted to know. Relive it one more time. Come on.
Yeah, I don't know, but I know I started 1 year out 5-for-55, and that's really not good.
What did you do though? No. So like, when you're going through this, it's not 0-for-30. You just had five hits sprinkled in there. You're a major league hitter. You know you're good, but that's got to drive you crazy. What do you think? He's probably getting suggestions from everybody. That's got to be incredibly frustrating, right? I mean, what do you do?
Yeah, it was the first time. I always made fun of guys with obliques, and I actually blew an oblique. I came back quick, and what do I tell myself? Maybe I should have taken their recommendation about going on a rehab assignment. I said, no, I'm fine, let's go. And next thing you know, it's like looking up at something on the scoreboard and going, all right, it's time to get this thing going. But, you know, I ended up actually hitting very well in the second half of the season and ended up having a decent year, but again, dug myself a hole. And it's, you want to talk about that stuff wearing on you and weighing on you, you go into batting practice, you're doing exactly what you want to do as a hitter, you're spraying the ball all around the field, and then you come up into the game and then it's just like tension, you know, and 0-for-1, 0-for-2, 0-for-3, oh my gosh, can I get fisted and bloop a ball in? You know, it does. It wears on you. The only benefit I had was the fact that I was a catcher and, you know, separating the two, which took a long time, your offense and defense. I could get right back into the flow of the game and go, well, at least I called a good game, you know, and a win, something like that. So.
Your WAR was still viable.
Right. Yeah,
has 114 at-bats, and he's hitting 140.
He's not playing a premium defensive position like Mac was, and that it
well,
is.
Well, the way we've been throwing the ball, yeah, it is a premium position because you're getting some balls hammered at you right now. But look, they're going to come out of this funk. It's going to take something where they get a couple breaks going their way. Yes, it is true they have had some bad luck, but. Again, you know, what was that movie with Tom Selleck? Mr. Baseball, and I led the major leagues on Tuesday night with the hardest hit rate after 7 o'clock or some stat like that. You're you're grasping at straws right now for any bit of good news to convince yourself that you're doing okay. So there's a lot of hitters that are going through that right now, and you know, like I said, a very good hitting coach once told me the approach is the glue that holds the mechanics together of the swing. And right now, staying in the middle of the field, not necessarily oppo, not necessarily pull, but staying in the middle of the field and being on time is the way to get yourself out of it. And it's easier said than done because you're doing that in batting practice. And then that little gremlin on your shoulder puts that seed of doubt in your mind after every pitch seems to be on the black, and you're always 1-2 in the count, and those things just keep weighing on you and makes it very hard.
Well, another guy that's got that going on right now is Michael A. Taylor. He's 2 for his last 15 with 9 strikeouts in his last 15 at-bats. And, boy, he started the season. He had 2 home runs in the first 2 games of the year.
MVP.
Hasn't homered since.
Well,
What are you seeing from Michael A. Taylor?
Well, yeah, exactly. It's the same thing. And it's trying to stick to your game plan as a hitter. But you get up there, and you're the one that's trying to switch things around and make it happen and introduce tension into your swing. You're not loose and fluid and smooth. And it's a hell of a lot easier sitting on this side watching the game instead of being down there. But in the dugout, there's a certain sense. There's a vibe. There's pressure, trust me, on the hitters. And I'm not trying to make excuses, but you get team-wide slumps going from time to time. Ben Attendee's, you know, seems to be doing just fine. And you might move him up in the lineup. You never know. But it's just a team-wide situation, a team-wide funk that you just basically have to battle through and hope that you can turn things around and get things going in the right direction, and then it's payback time.
So obviously the top thing on their minds is the 11 game losing streak, but also 2-13 against the White Sox the last 2 seasons. How much is that in their head?
None. I mean, it's a different, you know, it's a different week, it's a different month, it's a different year. You're going up against Giolito, I think, in the first game.
Yep.
You know, concerning yourself with the two extremes, the fastball and the changeup. And then I think they said they were going with Kopech or whatever in game 2.
Yes.
Which takes a pretty damn good arm out of their bullpen. But the difference in the White Sox right now is they're free and easy and laughing and enjoying the game and, you know, kicking butt and taking names. And on the other side, you're pressing to put the ball in play. We got to get rid of some of the strikeouts, and you're pressing to get some runs across the board. And it's about the two extremes that you could possibly ask for in one game. But good news is you beat a team like this, it can loosen everything up, and next thing you know, you can be the one that wins 8 out of 10.
Mac, thank you for the time. We'll talk to you next week. Hopefully, next time we talk to you, the Royals will have won a game. So, you know.
Guarantee it.
Right.
I guarantee it.
Thank you.
Have a good weekend, boys.
That's Mike McFarland. Guarantees the Royals will win by the next time we talk to him. If he made that guarantee last week, that would not have been true. But they're going to win it this time, aren't they? They're going to win this week.
I'm going to win today.
Mm. Keller or Junis?
Junis. 7-inning games?
Yeah.
That's the key.
Do you like 7-inning games, Jake? Is this something you like?
Yeah, I do like them when I played in high school.
Okay.
When the Royals win in a 7-inning game, will you like them?
I'm not asking you about how you liked it in high school.
Oh, do you mean professional baseball?
They're going to play 7-inning games today. Do you like that or
you
not?
Mean professional baseball?
Well, yes, it's the Royals. No. That's what I'm asking you about.
No, I don't. I think they should play 9-inning games.
Did you play high school baseball, Jake? I didn't know that.
My freshman year, I played summer
Todd,
ball.
Todd, when you're done, come back here.
Played for Carter Glass.
How many innings were those games? 7?
Well, you know, yeah, they were.
Just in like 5 minutes, come in here. You like 7-inning games or not? Just answer that then. You got vegetables in your hands. I don't want to bother you.
Oh, boy.
Jake doesn't like these 7-inning games. He said this isn't high school, you know. It's professional baseball.
This isn't amateur baseball.
They're not the greatest things in the world, but
right now for the
there are
Royals.
Bigger problems in the world than this. Well, that's. Well,
but guess what? Right. We're not addressing those problems on this show today.
You know what?
We're addressing
this is not news talk radio, Todd.
Yeah.
Sports talk.
He said this is not news talk.
The biggest
sports
problem
talk.
In sports talk.
He wants to know if you like seven inning games.
I'm fine with him.
You just said they weren't the greatest.
They're
not
the greatest.
Segment.
I don't care. It's fine with me.
Do you think it's
you want me to watch less Royals?
Do you like the second? do you like second base and extra innings?
They might have won some of these games.
Maybe shorten the game up a little bit.
Seven innings.
Don't have to worry about the bullpen as much.
They don't start hitting until the eighth inning.
What if they played seven inning games against Cleveland?
Jake doesn't think this is a real baseball game.
Well, I mean, you know, what if it rains and they play a five inning game? They still count that in the standings.
But it's not raining.
They do it.
He said it's not raining.
It might be raining in Chicago.
Not.
You check the forecast,
yeah,
Gary?
I know. I know it's going in Chicago all the time. They just released a bunch of feral cats.
I agree.
It's not raining.
Are you
take care of that
so
rat problem?
You're not a baseball purist. You're fine with seven innings.
Well,
you're fine
with the
runners at second to start in the eighth inning.
I mean, they make new rules.
Okay, all right. I didn't know what you felt.
The mound used to be taller.
I just think it's unfortunate.
That's fine. I didn't know if you hated
white guys
like he does.
You know, I mean.
Wow.
You're so heavy today, man. We're trying to keep it light and talk about seven-inning baseball.
Hey, you want to talk about the Middle East, Todd?
Jake doesn't like anything today. That's the mentality's in.
Why are you sour?
Seven-inning baseball.
I screwed up his clock in the 6 o'clock, 7 o'clock
he's sour.
You messed it up in the 6 o'clock.
He was he's sour.
Actually, both hours.
Yeah, in my whole show. Really.
I just want to know if you don't like seven-inning baseball.
Well, at least Steven pulled me in here.
Hey, you know what?
That's exactly right.
I think what they're doing is they're robbing people of the chance to see more strikeouts and walks, and that's really what, you know.
Maybe this works in the Royals'
favor.
That's
what I'm hoping.
Okay, that's the only thing I can tell you.
But
maybe there's a couple three-inning games in there.
Please.
I just like it. I asked him, do you like saying? He goes, yeah. Yeah, I like it. Yeah, when I played in high school. But he's not bitter at all.
No, he did, by the way, in high school. He's like, you know, I love these seven-inning games.
Yeah,
these
great.
Are great.
Yeah.
But not for the pros.
When you played for who? What glass?
Carter Glass.
Carter Glass was fine.
I don't even remember how long games were when we were kids.
And then he asked
sometimes
me.
Sometimes it was mostly time limit stuff,
too. And then he asked me, was it professional? Was it professional? Yes. It's the Royals.
Is it raining?
MLB,
college
yes.
baseball's nine innings unless you play a doubleheader.
Okay.
And it's seven innings.
There.
College baseball.
College.
Hey, you know what? Right now, for the last 2 years, pro baseball is seven innings on a doubleheader. Wow, get used to it.
There it is.
Whoa.
In your face.
You
now we
paid a lot of money.
Now we break. Back after this on WHB.